from MLU headquarters in Philadelphia.
You should go underneath it.
Oh, way out deep!
This is Cleats and Cuffy.
Hit it! Oh, what a hit that was! Murray!
Everything ultimate, from the field to the border, with Jeff Snyder and Nick Dark.
Hang it up there!
There.
Back for episode 14, you may notice at least if you listen to the last episode, we said episode 11.
Yeah,
but that's
yeah,
because we can't count.
Yeah, we're bad at counting.
So this is actually episode 14, which reminds me of an F-14 Tomcat, which reminds me of Tom Cruise, who was my favorite actor up until he spoke out loud.
Outside of a movie.
Yeah, outside of a movie.
Yeah, fair enough.
So he Mel Gibson'd. Mel Gibson, Tom Cruise, my two favorite actors. Then they had to go and be real life people. They ruined it.
You like short, crazy people, apparently.
Well, I work with you.
Good for you. Oh,
bingo.
Sad when you talk like that.
So how was the week? We had a good week, didn't we? It's just been 2 weeks since we recorded.
It's been 2 weeks.
We can't stop traveling.
Yeah, there's too much moving around, too much going on. I think that, you know, it's all positive, though. I've had a good couple of weeks. How about you?
It's been good.
Yeah.
I mean, we had the championship game, which we're just gearing up for, so it just takes so much time. And we've been trying to organize so many things around it that it's just busy. And I think, you know, we just need a studio that follows us around.
That would be perfect.
A mobile studio.
That would be perfect. You know what we need? I thought about this the other day. We need a producer.
What are those?
It's a person that makes you do things
okay.
that you don't want to at times, you're uncomfortable with.
I like that thought.
It's like a wife.
I'm going to leave it at that. I like it, though.
I love you, Marie.
Again.
She doesn't listen.
She's just never listened. No, you don't have to apologize to her.
Yeah.
Okay. So things, lots of things that have happened. We want to talk about to give our fans an idea of what we're talking about. Number one is the playoffs. Some interesting things going on.
Ugh, loving it.
Number two is, do we, Nick and Jeff, agree or disagree with Daniel Snyder and the Redskins and what the name is? So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about that from a business point of view. What would we do from a business?
Yeah, yeah, and this is particularly timely, mm-hmm. as just this morning the U.S. Patent Office denied the trademarks that the Redskins held.
You might be surprised with our thoughts on this.
Yeah.
And lastly, we have issue. Actually, it's my Santos. We're talking about the way teams warm up. We think that it's, for lack of a better word, it might be broken.
I watch it, I get tired.
Yep.
And it's not every team. It's just we've noticed it on a few occasions, I think.
I don't know what you mean. It's every team that
you
I watch.
You think it's every team?
Every team I watch, I think they're doing it wrong.
And it's not about how shirtless DC is.
No, I don't agree with that at all. Okay. Because it's just you can't have that many good-looking guys with the shirts off, okay, with me there in a suit jacket sweating. That just makes me angry.
You do get a little bitter.
Right? So. Yeah. Okay, so starting off with playoff implications. Okay, so it's funny because you get eight teams, a relatively small league, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you think everything's going to be cut and dry, and for two seasons in a row, it's not cut and dry. So literally everything comes down to week 10.
Well,
for
the East Coast, the West Coast. So let's talk about the West Coast first because this is still really interesting, I think. Because in this year, the West Coast is locked down in week 9. We know that Vancouver is traveling down to Portland to play them
June 28th.
What's interesting about that is these are the opposite two teams that were in this game last year. I kind of love that storyline.
Did anybody call that?
Nobody called that.
And I think there was a point in the season where, you know, you can look at it in a retrospective. Did we have Vancouver at the top of the power rankings, or at least real close, right?
Vancouver was definitely up there. I think the Stags, and I think that Nathan Schorsch and will agree with this because I've heard it from him enough, is that they're constantly underrated. He's like, we'll win the championship game, and the next day, DC will be above us in the power rankings going into next year.
That's probably true.
So
I agree with it. No, I'm kidding. But it's funny because Vancouver started off way up at the top.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure Portland was at the bottom. Then somewhere through, it's like the middle of the season, I think everybody got off the Vancouver train. They're like, nope, they're not going to do it. It's Seattle and Portland, and Portland's running away with it. And maybe Portland will go undefeated. But now, you're right, we have Portland, or Vancouver at Portland, but Vancouver just beat the Stags up in Vancouver. It's that is an exciting game. I have no idea who's going to win it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... So Vancouver's got to go down and play San Francisco. Always a tough game. You're playing in Boxer Stadium, which is always windy. And, you know, it just it's a little bit of a struggle. We get to watch Brendan Wong quite possibly might break the season scoring record set by Marquette last year.
Ooh,
but he needs 5 points in that game. And we know there are low-scoring games down there in San Francisco. So it's going to be a really interesting game to watch there.
Yeah, and, unfortunately for him, it's the worst-case scenario.
Yeah.
Don't want to go there.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And then we have, of course, Seattle coming to play Portland. And, you know, neither of these games, quote-unquote, matter. But I think that we're going to get into this when we talk about the East Coast. How much does going into your playoff game on a win versus going in on a loss matter? How does that change your team's perspective?
If you're coached well, it's irrelevant. You know, it has to be. If you're coached well, you know that this doesn't mean anything, so it doesn't mean anything, and you let it go. Go out there, play, hit all the points, focus on the things you want to focus on, keep an emotional cool, and you're fine. For certain, Vancouver, you're going to play in a wind tunnel. So if you get too focused on that, you're going to get thrown off. The weird thing about Portland, though, is I don't know when the last time they beat Seattle is. And I mean that in an overall sense.
Yeah, so they beat them last week.
Right. That was their first ever win against Seattle. Am I wrong? Like, I mean, let's just put in a broader context. When have they beat them in club, college, women's, mixed? I'm actually not sure because I don't follow that closely. But I don't think Portland beats Seattle in much of anything. And they squeaked out the win. An unbelievable end.
What a game.
Where Portland seals up the whole thing, and in 27 seconds, if it hadn't been for a flub by Khalif Al-Salam, they're tied up. And that could have been a major blow to Portland. So
huge difference.
If you haven't seen that game, watch the Portland Stags at Seattle Rainmakers the last 30 seconds of the game. It will blow your mind.
Yeah, what a game.
So now we go to the East Coast. Last year, Washington, D.C. versus Boston, right?
Right.
Boston was undefeated. D.C. went up there, really didn't give much of a contest.
Yeah, they had to travel all the way up there. It's a long trip. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they came out of the gate a little bit slow and just never got running.
Never got
running. And it just seemed clear. Boston seemed destined for that title that year. And I don't think anyone was surprised by it.
Now, this season... You couldn't write it better. Boston, somehow, even though they look on paper like a juggernaut, can't seem to get past themselves a bit. And they find themselves, amazingly enough, after going undefeated, at the whim of the Philadelphia Spinners. But in a funky, funky scenario.
And who on earth saw that? You want to talk about power ranking? Nope. I mean, Philly was sitting at the bottom. And, you know, I mean, they danced there with the Stags a little bit at the beginning, but the Stags quickly moved out of the basement. Philly still struggled in the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm. Philly had some horrible losses.
Ugh.
They had losses that were just terrible. I mean, they just looked like they were a team that had no direction.
They had a win or two that looked terrible.
they're right. I mean, they beat New York. I mean, there were just some. Remember when they beat New York? Think about this. Remember when they beat New York? Who's that great player? Vukovic, I think. Drops a disc. No, Jonathan Cox.
No, it was Cox.
Cox drops a wide open goal.
For the win.
Whole season different. Drops a wide open goal, and then we end up getting a crazy flick from Alex Peters that lands in Frederick Braz's hands. So season could be totally different. That's what's beautiful about sports. But what's crazy here is you have the Philadelphia Spinners at home against the DC Current. You have New York at home against the Whitecaps. The DC Current, for lack of a better term of saying it, get to choose their opponent in the playoffs. If they beat the Spinners and the Whitecaps win, they play the Whitecaps. If they beat the Spinners and the Whitecaps lose, they play the Spinners. If they lose to the Spinners, they play the Spinners.
That's the weirdest one, isn't it?
Now, people have brought up and said, what are you going to do if DC wants to play Philly? This is people, they're prediction, right? They're surmising that what Kevin Moldenauer would want to do.
I'm not even sure they're right, and we can talk about that in a minute. But
they're saying, well, he's going to blow the game. He's going to you know, give the game so that he can play the spinners, because that's the team he wants to play. He knows they're going to win that. What do you think?
I mean, I know Kevin, and I can't imagine him tanking a game in the first place, and I particularly cannot imagine him doing it against Philadelphia. If there's anyone that Kevin would hate to lose to more, it's Philly. Now, it does bring an interesting question up, though, about, you know, what is tanking a game, right? Is Kevin, could there be a couple of starters that maybe are a little banged up that Kevin rests because he doesn't think that there's a necessary difference in which team that they draw? I think that's possible, but I wouldn't consider that to be tanking. I think Kevin and his team, for that matter, probably believe that they can beat this team with their second string. This is how confident that team is playing right now. And I think that if he does rest players, it wouldn't be considered throwing that game. They're going to go out and try to win that game.
Let's talk about a couple league policy things.
Sure.
Number one, you know, the commissioner talking here, you cannot tank a game. Not allowed to. Tanking a game is a very hard thing for a commissioner to judge. If you go back to the NBA season, Greg Popovich sat and rested all of his starters for a game, and I can't remember. I think David Sterling, who was the commissioner at the time, fined him for it. He said, look, fans pay money to see Ginobili and Parker and Duncan. If you sit them all, that's bad for us.
Well, there's the important thing, right? The commissioner's role, in one way, is to protect the fans' interests,
mm-hmm.
as well as is to protect the players' interests. He's protecting everybody's interests. Yeah. He's balancing them. And so it's a reasonable thing to have penalties when someone's, quote-unquote, tanking a game. We saw this also we talked about this a little bit with the Brooklyn Nets. There's a lot of speculation that they wanted to play the Raptors in the playoffs rather than the Bulls. They're sitting in fifth seed, and they could have then drawn the Bulls if they had stayed in that position. So they dropped their last five games, and they didn't start their main starters in those games. They cut down minutes considerably, and everybody just really assumed that that was their intent, and they did. They dropped a seed. They ended up facing against the Raptors, and I believe they beat them in the series, right? I'm not as good at the NBA.
They played the Heat and they lost, so
yeah, so
they got the next round.
So they went through and they beat the Raptors. And it almost didn't even get talked about because everyone just assumed they did that intentionally. And nobody really brought it up. But then they asked the coach for comments. He's like, no, I rested starters.
Of course, he can't say that because he can't tank.
But either being fifth or sixth might not have mattered to him. You know what I mean?
Right. So, yeah, my point is he can't say he tanked because then he would get fined.
Of course.
Now, Popovich just won the finals. So. Right. His point is, I'm going to get fined, but this is important for my team. I need to give these starters a rest. So, really, Coach Moldenauer, all he has to do is make a compelling argument. If he truly wanted to tank the game, he just couldn't do something like, if you're up by one, you throw a Callahan on purpose, right?
Right.
Because that's called tanking, and that's bad for the brand. Which, to go past it, there's nothing we need to worry about. To me, if you ask me, when I was a coach, I am never, ever going to lose to a team on purpose if I have to play them the next week, because the story is haunting to me, right? So I lose against the spinners so that I can play them next week, and then I lose, I'll never live it down, because I'm like, what did I do? I'm such an idiot. Just play, and then you knew you always were trying to win, because it's too much of a haunting thing. So
well, that was my point earlier. Is you said good coaching overrides it, but my point is that a habit of winning is a habit of winning. Yeah. You should stay in the habit of winning. I don't see a reason to step out of that habit. And you know, there are some sports where it comes up more often. I mean, baseball, they play so many games that you certainly are giving games away.
Oh, well, they have to.
Because you have to. There's no way you can play that many games.
But it's for winning. You rest guys because they're banged up to win.
Right.
So it's just all about winning.
It's not about the matchup. It's about winning.
Yeah. If he rests guys because they're hurt, great. That's what I would do, because you don't need to win this game. It's completely irrelevant. But if you lose, that is a bad thing. If you play to lose, you're like, hey, man, we want to play these guys. You can screw up your brain. You can screw up the chemistry of the team.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an exciting weekend. I think all the games are at the same time.
So we have, run those down.
So it's Boston at New York at 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's Philly at, or DC at Philly at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
The Portland Rainmakers game, I think, is at 7 Pacific. And the Dogfish Vancouver game, I think, is at 2 or 3.
I believe
Pacific.
It's 2. Yeah.
So that one's earlier. But those don't count. What I meant is the East Coast for the same time. So we'll know It's going to be kind of exciting. We'll make sure Don is talking in about what's going on. I have no idea how it's going to end. Couldn't have a clue. Franklin Field is not an easy place to play. DC barely beat him in the first game of the season, but now we're all the way. Can you believe it? It's the last game of the season.
Nicholas. And look, do not discount New York. New York could just come out and beat Boston and make the whole thing irrelevant.
Yeah.
They could definitely do it. They played very well last week against DC. I know they're not going down without a fight.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard enough from those guys over the past week that they're going to come out and play. I mean, that would be kind of the strangest scenario, but perfectly possible. But yeah, I can't believe it. I can't believe we're in the last week of the regular season. Feels like it goes so fast.
It's amazing.
Kind of a blur of joy and pain.
Is there a job like this? I mean, so we'll just jump into the cufflinks part or the cleats part. I don't know what part of this is, all the part, but this job is so 7 days a week, it's hard to explain. We have, so I have seen most people here at the office for, I don't know, 28, 35 something days
just
in a row.
Straight days.
And it's not even weird. We just see each other every single day. We see Saturday, yeah. Sunday, Monday. There's always something to do, to the point where the actual day of the week, you know by what you're doing that day. Excuse me, Nicholas. Because like you're like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm talking to the GMs about game scripts today in there, and you know what's going on. Well, it must be Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Oh, I'm going through the production scripts with the commentators. Yeah. Oh, that's a Thursday.
Yeah, where the video guys have come to me and told me about what clips they're pushing for ESPN and SportsCenter. Like, oh, it's Monday.
Cool, I see it more as a minus thing. You know, it's always T minus. So game day, whatever the game that I'm attending that week, I'm always so many days away from that game. That's how I think about the season for myself.
I do. It actually helps it.
Yeah, yeah.
It helps it much.
Clarifies it.
All right. Well, it's going to be an exciting weekend. We'll both be in Philadelphia. And then for the playoff game, we'll both be in D.C. And Lindy Savloff will be out in Portland. And she'll be telling us how that game goes. So it'll be pretty exciting. All right. Now we're on to our next thing.
Next topic.
Okay. So, you and I have talked about this. You and I live to debate.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And because I always see the practical way things should be done, you are always good because you see something that's illogical and doesn't make sense, and you argue that.
Wow, that is an interesting approach you've made there. I like that. Since you were the one talking, you feel like you just get to say that.
Yeah, and then continue on.
Yeah,
for me, being
enough.
Right most of the time,
enough,
or
yeah.
just, we'll just say all the time. And then you having this counter-argument, you help make me a better person.
There have been a couple
right.
occasions recently.
So, it's interesting because we do see different on things that, on many things. So the topic of the name the Washington Redskins came up. So there's a couple questions. Number one, from a business point of view, if you and I owned the Washington team right now, what would we do? Do we understand Daniel Snyder's position? What would we do as the NFL? And, you know, maybe just as an outside person or a fan of the NFL, what would we do? So I don't know if people would be surprised by how I feel or you feel about this from the outside. But it's weird because you can talk about this in some different ways, but I don't think there's any way to get around the fact that it's just repugnant.
Right? So this morning, the U.S. Patent Office rejected the Redskins' trademarks on the basis that they broke a very simple rule that the trademark organization has. It's very clear in the rules. It says you can't use a name that is disparaging to another group.
That's why I just heard about it, I didn't know why.
It's a really straightforward rule. I'm paraphrasing it a bit, but you can certainly find it. Everybody's writing about this today. It's a pretty clear rule, and this is a pretty just black and white case about it. The term Redskin, it's funny how comfortable we are saying it. Because we wouldn't say the N-word on here. It's almost as bad to say that. I heard a comedian once say that whenever you say that, you make me say it in my brain, and that's rude. but we wouldn't really say that, and yet it seems comfortable saying the Washington Redskins. But it's the same thing. It's that bad
a
phrase.
I'm going to play the devil's advocate here a little bit. Is that term, is it bad? Is it the bad term? Is it offensive?
So
if I say that to an a Native American, are they offended? Is it a bad thing?
So my grandfather would never have said it. He was half Oneida, and he would never, ever have said it. Ever.
Not even
and
to each other?
And wouldn't let it said in his house.
Not to each other, like that's what you would call a fellow,
never.
A fellow Indian.
And
fellow
never, American. Too, because we didn't get to the point historically that, you know, where they've even taken that word and tried to recapture it in the way that sort of hip-hop artists have in the United States and you know, stuff like that. We haven't, it hasn't even gotten there. It's just a really bad word that there aren't enough, frankly, enough Native Americans left to raise enough of a fuss about it that it has caused as much of a problem. And in the end, it's such a simple thing. It's a bad word. The patent office is the second time they've taken away these trademarks. They won they didn't even win the appeal. They got the case thrown out the first time. I think it was back in 99.
I didn't know that.
Something like that. Yeah, there was another case. They got it thrown out on a legal technicality. And, you know, they're going to try to do the same thing here. They've already appealed the case. So the Washington Redskins will hold their trademarks through the appeals process. So in case you were going to go out, bring yourself up some fancy Redskins gear. Don't do that yet. You gotta wait till the appeals process is complete. Because again, the court's decision does not forbid the Redskins from using that name. You can use whatever name you want. You just can't trademark it, is what they're saying.
Well, let's do this, Nicholas. If that word is truly the same as another derogatory term, we're not gonna use it. We'll call them Washington Football.
Washington Football.
That name is erased.
Let's get rid of it.
Let's get rid of it.
I'm in.
And let's urge everybody out there. It's Washington Football. And if we make, you know, if we say that, then hopefully it just helps the change. Because here's the thing that bugs me most. I hate arguments of tradition. Funny, though, as you know, when we argue, I love tradition. Right, I love tradition.
I was gonna actually say
they're
that.
A lot
yeah.
of fun. Like tradition is so cool. Like when you yeah. do things and you're like, wow, that's a really cool tradition. And tradition. And now we've, you know, being in the MLU now for, we've been doing this for 3 years. We have things we do in the office, and it's cool. It's like yeah. these are things we do that they're in. But just because they're things we do doesn't mean they're things we always like. You're free from if you find out it's wrong. Like wow, that actually is offending somebody. Well, but it's tradition. I hate that argument so much. So what? So what is tradition?
Who was it? I can't remember who it was. I think it was Stephen Colbert. I may be crediting in the wrong place. Who said, he keeps claiming tradition on this. Yeah, your 8 decades of tradition really are overwhelming hundreds of years of oppression.
Yeah, it's not it's Colbert. It's the other guy, the Jonathan Miller. Jonathan. You know the guy I'm talking about. I can't think of his name.
I can't remember who it was.
Glenn Poole. You know who we're talking about. Just tell us. I know you're yeah, listening.
Call it out.
He's the guy who did the thing about FIFA that you like so much.
Oh, yeah, with the HBO show.
Jonathan something.
I don't know. I'm blanking. Sure. I'm blanking.
But yeah.
British dude.
It is kind of funny. Yeah, like, ooh, wow. Your 80 years of that logo and name are so, wow. Boy.
Like, that's a powerful enough thing to override the effect of this word and the historical context of it. I mean, say what you will, right? We came here, our ancestors came here, they found a country, they fought wars with the indigenous people, and terrible things happened in the course of that.
Yep.
This is history. History happens. Doesn't mean you need to keep calling it back up by using words coined in that era to put down the people that you were dehumanizing and killing.
Yeah, and you also know you can never make everybody happy.
Of course not.
We know that. So this isn't about like, hey, you know, you've upset these people, this. It's just sometimes all the time, you have to take a step back and say, wait a minute, what does this mean? And there's just no good side to it, right? Like, if there's an argument to be like, well, we use this term because look at the good side it causes. Like, look at the opportunity or something like that. If there was something there, I'd be like, well, that's an interesting counter to it. There's just nothing.
Yeah,
there's
so nothing. Let's take that then. Let's switch to the business look at this, right? Mm-hmm. What are the problems for the Washington Football Team in making this name change?
A horrible lack of creativity.
That's all I see, too.
I see the opportunity to literally make billions.
Ugh.
The amount of
clean up.
Because you know what you do? You go find the best brand person, and you put it all together, and you launch this campaign that would literally endear you to so many.
Yeah, now you look like a hero.
You'll be with the president, will shake your hand in front of everybody. You'll be doing all these things. You can start campaigns. All these things you would do would make you a superhero, a game changer, a life changer, all these things. I mean, you could, come on.
And look at the cynical side, if we will. You're going to sell a lot of merchandise.
Tons.
So much merchandise. And you're also going to have a controversy that rages between fans that existed before and new fans. And that sort of storylines only generate more and more revenue, more and more attention, more PR opportunities. And this is already an organization that makes really good money. They're not hurting for cash. They are in the Forbes top 10 of sports teams in the world.
Yep.
And they can, you know, they can stomach, even if, which it shouldn't, again, a lack of creativity, but even if this creates a small dip in that, they can take that on for the bigger rise in the long term. Because,
yeah, it's lack of creativity. If you rename yourself the Washington Potholes, then you screwed up because you had a great
idea. That was probably a mistake, yeah. Yeah.
So then you screwed up.
Not a good name.
Not
By
a
the
good
way,
name.
Don't use
don't
that.
Don't do that.
If you're
suggesting.
Thinking about it, don't use it.
Right. So, you know, Daniel Snyder, avid listener.
I actually have plans for that name. Yeah, okay, Daniel Snyder.
The Potholes.
Just lean a little bit closer to your old-timey radio, which is what I picture you listening to this on. Don't use the Potholes.
Okay.
But change the name.
Yeah, so it's funny because you're talking about it from business. You know, it's hard not to be led by business a lot of times. We talk to, you know, throwing stones in glass houses, right? And we obviously know we get a lot of criticism for anything we do because we're sports.
Sure.
But this one's easy. So it's just easy.
It's easy.
Creativity. Creativity would launch your brand into the next phase. But you know what? Here's what I think is going to happen. This pressure to stand is actually going to embarrass the team if they stand fast. At some point, there's going to be so much pressure that they're going to be forced to change the name. They're not going to be able to put the time, the effort. They're not going to be able to get the distraction out of the way, and they're going to do some horrible brand change because they didn't get ahead of it. They're going to be pressured into it. And also they're going to be the Washington Potholes or the Washington something.
This is the problem, is that their inability to read this direction and the way things are going is going to hurt them. You're waiting for the patent office to reject your trademarks? Like, this isn't... Even if... Say you beat this time around. Well, you're going to see it again in 4 or 5 more years.
Yep.
They're going to do it again. Because it's so directly written in the language of the patent office's rules. And this is such a direct violation of it. That even if you can get off on a technicality this time, you're going to run out of technicalities, and you might as well get ahead of this.
But forget all that stuff. Think about all the things you can't control. All of a sudden, they take you off Monday Night Football. They're no longer going to put that up there. Then they take you off Sunday Night Football. Then they just take you off the TV. They're like, look, we can't do it. The NFL could say, forget it.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, you think about sponsors. If this gets a lot of attention, and people do start to understand what that term means, because I think that's the problem, is people don't think it's a bad term for some reason. Which is insane to me, but it's clearly a bad term. And you start to see public opinion outside of your particular brand, because you're going to have your loyalty there. You have people who you've built up loyalty over the years. But if you take public opinion outside of that, that affects sponsors.
Yeah, you can guarantee they're losing sponsors.
Yeah, and I think I want to call all the other NFL teams. This is a funny, completely different thing, but. Baltimore, if you go to the Baltimore Ravens and you watch a game and the Indianapolis Colts come, they will not write the word Colts on the field, on the screen, anywhere. It only says Indy because they refuse to acknowledge that it's the Colts because it was once the Baltimore Colts and they left. And so they refuse to acknowledge him. I think every NFL team should refuse to acknowledge the Washington team's name.
Should just say DC.
Should just call DC.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Let's take a stand and let's just say this is wrong. Let's fix it. Let's move on.
Yeah, we're not going to say
they're not bad people. It's not a bad team. It's a good team.
I
want them to lose most of the time.
Let me jump one or maybe a couple further. The Cleveland Indians.
Yeah.
Acceptable name?
I mean, in my mind, I don't love it in the same way. And mainly it's because over the years they've had pretty offensive, like, cartoonish logos that, you know, again, I don't love. And I don't think you get away with this in many other places. It's still not on the level of the Washington team's name.
But is it okay? Like, if there was the Cleveland Caucasians, would we think that was weird? that's the same word, right? I'm saying this the right... That's the right...
Well, no, not really, because the old joke, like, we knew that the Native Americans weren't Indians within probably a week of us getting here. I don't know. It's a weird slang term that a lot of Native Americans don't like. They would prefer to be referred to as their tribe name or as Native Americans. But again, it's been around so long that it's washed out and has lost a lot of its power. But yeah, I don't like it. I don't think it's great. The chants and stuff that go around along with it, I think is a little bit offensive.
How about the Minnesota Vikings? Is that anything?
I think you can get away with the Vikings.
I mean, I'm just bringing it up as like a thing. Is it Viking? It's not a bad term. Is it a bad term? Do Vikings call themselves Vikings? I mean, there's no Viking. Are the Vikings left?
I don't think there are Vikings anymore. Okay. It's a very old term.
So it's just so
what's interesting about it is Vikings never had horns on their helmet. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, completely
that ruins
made
the
up
Vikings.
Thing.
They
I know.
Just look like a bowling ball on their head.
They just wore normal helmets. So why would they put horns on them?
Because they're Vikings.
Yeah, they didn't do that. So that's, yeah. So if I were a Viking now, I'd be like, come on.
Come on, boy. Come on.
Come on.
The horns.
Not Hagar the Horrible. you want to talk about offensive. Let's talk about Hagar the Horrible.
That's
other reasons.
Yeah. Atlanta Braves.
So Braves is a, I think you can make Braves work. Because Braves gets away from, it's not derogatory. It's like saying the Warriors or the... Sentinels, or the what are some other examples of that?
I don't know. You're doing this.
Yeah, I am apparently. It's actually pointing to a class of people. It's a job. You know, you're brave. You're a young warrior. It kind of correlates. I don't think it's intentionally trying to hurt or insult or degrade anybody. And I think how you use the term and how you brand it. Is probably still important, but in general, I think it's fine.
Then why are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Pittsburgh Pirates? Why is that okay?
I asked that question myself. You remember when we first started that we had an idea of calling the Boston team the Bootleggers, and I think people got a little upset about it. Like those were criminals. Like Pirates are criminals, and they're still criminals. Like the Bootleggers it's kind of an old timey term. We don't have prohibition anymore. There aren't bootleggers really. So you have the Pirates, yeah. I mean, why is that okay? But why is it okay for my daughter to watch Jake and the Neverland Pirates in the morning? And they sing and they have fun.
We love Pirates. Is it?
I don't understand.
Is that what it is?
It really confuses me.
And a Buccaneer is just a pirate, right? I don't know what a Buccaneer is.
Yeah, that's a good question.
They just show a pirate.
It is a pirate. It's, you know, a privateer, Buccaneer, pirate. They sort of use those terms. I think Buccaneer is what pirates called themselves because it sounded better. You're like, a pirate. No,
like
I'm not.
Pirates offensive to a pirate? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think,
all right, well, that's pirates a bad one. Okay. Well, so we'd like to hear your thoughts. What do you think should happen? At Cleats Cufflinks, at Jeff Snader, at Nick Darling, and hashtag DC Football. That way we'll know what you're talking
DC
about.
Football.
We'd love to know what you think. What's the right thing? What have we not thought of? And what arguments do you believe? And then we urge you, DC football.
Yeah.
DC football, that's what they're called, or Washington football, either one. But don't say the name. If it's truly, if you agree that it's the wrong name, and I don't know how you could disagree, you only need to think about it for a second and watch those commercials they've been showing. It's the wrong name. It's the wrong word. Then don't say it. We'll move on.
Yeah, let's get away from that word entirely.
Yeah.
I would like to never hear it again.
Yeah. Agreed. All right, so there's been something through the season, through both seasons, that we've been watching that we keep saying, but we never really say to anyone except ourselves.
It's true. Yeah, so this is topic three, by the way. We've moved on.
Topic.
So we're clear. Yeah.
Topic number three. Yep. Yes. And it has tradition. It goes back to things. Things you do, you just do.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you do them. So let's get specific here. We watch the teams warm up for their games. And
because we are there early.
Yeah.
They're very early.
And they are... Let me just throw out examples of what we'll see.
Sure.
Team comes out. Let's say the game's at, well, it doesn't matter. 3 hours ahead of time. Mm-hmm. They're out there stretching, stretch circle, doing their things. Fine. Then they're throwing. Then they get into a drill. Like a, whatever you call it. People call it a break mark drill, like the two lines drill. And they're doing that. Then they're lined up at the end zone, and they're running deep, and they're throwing deep passes. They're sprinting deep to catch passes. Don't do that. And then inevitably, they go back and forth, do some stuff, maybe run some more drills, and then before the game, they're running scrimmage for half an hour.
Yeah, full speed scrimmage.
Full speed, like high pressure scrimmage. And I think it's the most broken thing I've seen teams doing. It's something that somebody taught them a long time ago, and they've just continually done. And they're not thinking about what other sports do. So I want to go. I want to go through a few sports we recognize and that we've played, and talk about how they warm up. So let's start with soccer. How'd you warm up in soccer? Game time 7 o'clock. When'd you get to the field?
I would get to the field very early because I like to get out there, sit, and visualize a little bit.
Give me times very early.
Probably game time 7 o'clock. I'd be out there at 4, or even sometimes just right after school. This was back when I was still in school, was the last, you know. So this is different than pro, but mm-hmm. I think it still applies. Knock the ball around, walk around the field a little bit. Then people would show up. You do a little passing back and forth. You do a jog and some stretching, maybe some light, plyos, mm-hmm. some light sort of plyo stuff, agility stuff, just getting your feet loose and getting your body loose. Then we do some shots on goal for the forwards, some clearances to targets for defense, but it was all kind of casual. Like you'd walk around, you'd do your thing. Nobody was working that hard ever. Run some corner kick drills, do some basic stuff.
Yeah, how often do you get to 100%?
Never. Not even once.
How often do you break a bad sweat?
You don't.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't mean that right before the game, you're not going to do a couple quick sprints and just make sure everything's loose and everything's easy. But I don't remember in any sport I played, basketball, I played soccer. I don't remember any time running 100% game prior to a game. You're too worried about injuries. You're too worried about wearing yourself out.
There's only one sport that I know of where you go 100% ahead of time, and it's boxing or mixed martial arts. The reason, though, see, there's always got to be a reason. You got to think about what you're trying to do. The reason that when, if I'm going out for a fight, that I have to warm up for a full round before is because a cold muscle punched reacts completely different than a warm muscle punched and will knot up in a cold muscle will knot up and you won't be able to walk. So if you ever wonder, like these guys come out, I mean, mixed martial arts is incredible. They come out and they start kicking each other and you're like, how do they take it? It's because they're extremely warm. The muscles warmed up, your whole body's warmed up, and therefore you can take a kick. That, I mean, you know when someone just hits you in the leg with their knuckle and you're like, ah, you know, it hurts.
Yeah.
And can see you can have a knot there for days if they hit it just right. So
you're making a case for warming up better for soccer, I guess.
yeah, maybe. But so you have to do that. Now, when I watch professional sports, I've gone to a basketball game hours ahead of time. Because sometimes, like, I've been given a club box or something, which is nice to go there ahead of time because they give it for free. So you go there. and basketball players, if you watch them, they come out in the court. What do? They shoot. Shooting up some hoops.
A little layup drill?
Yep. Together, they'll do a little layup drill. They never look like they're hustling. They just do some stuff. You know why? Because they know how to play basketball. You're not going to learn how to play basketball right before you play basketball. You know how to play basketball. Stop warming up and draining your team. You need all of the energy. You need Yeah, it's the climax thing. It's like you want to pull them up to their best point is when they start that game, right?
So that's the big thing. And I think that's, you know, soccer. It's a 90-minute endurance contest in a lot of ways. You have to be able to run and run and run. Basketball, up and down the court, up and down the court. You don't have extra. If you have extra to spend beforehand, imagine if you could inject that into the game.
Right.
Stop using up your reserves. Stop using up your extra. It doesn't mean you don't need to get warm. And I think for field sports, you do need to get up to a point where you're loose and you're not going to immediately tear something and you can take a little bit of that bodily abuse. But you can't use it up. You're out in the hot sun. You're running too hard. and you're going to use it up. And you're right. They run scrimmages and drills almost as if they're worried about forgetting how to play.
Yeah. I think it's just broken. Just a broken thing they've done. You don't scrimmage before a game.
Does it have something to do with the tournament format? Did it come out of that?
It's still broken, yes.
Well, no, but you think about this, right? Even in this mentality, you're like, by the time I play a good team in this tournament, I've played two or three games. That's why I'm all ready to play this good team.
Right.
And so that was what's working in your mind. So if I'm going to only play one game, I'd better get some serious warm-up in so I'm up to speed to play this this next game.
Yeah, it still doesn't hit to me. Even if you're playing a tournament, you want to ramp up and then play. And I bet you everybody has a story of when they got to the stadium or the field really late and then played a really good game. Man, I played a good game, but I was late. Yeah, you probably because you missed all this silly stuff that had you sweating. And first of all, you don't, in my opinion, for an athlete, and I know, you know, we need to get a sports trainer or whatever we want in here to talk about this, but you don't want to mess with the engine. You don't want to take it up and cool it off and take it up and cool it off. You want to keep it, you want to warm it up. And then when the game starts, you want it to be revved and like right then. Now it goes, right? So it's warm enough that now you can stomp on the pedal. You don't want to have gone up and then come down and cool down. How many people who are listening have played or warmed up and have had to suck down water or been exhausted? And like, holy Lord, I need to take a break from my warm-up. If you have to take a break from your warm-up, you are not warming up. You're sprinting. You're running. You're burning out.
And part of playing in a fan-based sport like ours is you don't get to warm up right to the minute before you play. You're going to warm up, and then you're going to have 20, 30 minutes of standing or sitting, waiting for the players to get announced, national anthem, all this stuff. So you've peaked and then dropped off, and now you got to come back before the game.
Look at these World Cup guys. They are standing in a tunnel for what seems like 10 minutes. Which is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. They're right next to each other. Like, hey, how you doing? They're going to just going to beat you, if you don't mind.
Kick you in the shins a lot. Yeah, a couple minutes.
And so they stand there for 10 minutes because everything has to go right. Then they walk out and they do the national anthems.
Yep.
And then they do the gifty flaggy trade.
Gifty flaggy.
They're giving
little gifty flaggy gifts. That's what they call it.
I don't know. Why don't they wrap them?
It's an Italian term, but it means gifty flaggy.
Gifty flaggy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's unspirited for them not to put a little work into wrapping.
A little bow, something like that.
Yeah, like you should want to undo something and be thankful. It should be more like Christmas. Anyway, we'll talk about that. So then they do that whole thing, and then the game starts. There is nothing. They're not like, hey, hold on, can we warm up? Can we get a few reps? And it's on.
Yeah.
You're warmed. You're ready. You got to go. That is what, that's how you should think of it. That's what you have to do.
I guarantee you there are, if we had a sports scientist type of trainer in here, there are differences. They would say a couple different things from soccer or a couple different things from football or baseball. There's probably nuances and differences between the two, but all I know is when I see what happens out there. And, you know, some teams have improved on a little. Philly was rough at it in the beginning. They would come out for their first few points. I'm like, these guys are gassed.
Yeah.
And they haven't even started the game.
I would agree. Philly was one of the ones I noticed the most. I was like, what are they doing? It's hot. First of all, now we're in July. Are we in July? No, we're almost in July. We're at the end of June. It's 85 degrees out right now.
Yep.
95 in the sun. Every ounce counts.
And they do things, like, we have to give them credit. They do some things that other sports wouldn't necessarily do because of the stage we're at. They'll run a clinic before a game with kids, which is awesome.
Awesome.
Great for the kids. Great for the guys. And, you know, do they lose some energy to that? Probably. Well, but I still think that the warm-up is the biggest downside.
Here's an interesting question, though. The spinners have given two clinics before the game when they played Boston at home, and they won both games. Now, during those clinics, they barely run. Yeah. And there's a question that, right? Does all this time taken away from you actually do exactly what you needed? You were just throwing to kids, and then you were lightly jogging around. They had no time to do any other warm-up. It's a question.
That is
so they should ask themselves, why are, when we're giving clinics, are we winning?
That is interesting.
Now that's something they can think about. Mm. Because maybe that was the right amount of warm-up for you. Maybe that's the
clinic kept us from burning ourselves out.
Maybe it did. So it's an interesting thing. couple more things. We don't have too much time. So, you know, send us your thoughts about that. We want to know about it. We want to know what you're thinking.
Yeah, definitely would like to hear.
What evidence do you have of the right ways to warm up in Ultimate? You know, send us some stuff. We'd love to talk about it, give you some credit on air. A couple notes about some things. Number one, Stags Rainmakers Topher Davis has accumulated three bans through the season.
Yeah.
He's the first player in the MLU to do that, so he will be suspended for the Stags Rainmakers game.
Pretty happy that that is a game that doesn't have any real consequences at this point.
It's good
for him.
It is good. You know, it's good for him. He, in this type, is in a ban suspension. He's able to travel with the team.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to be on the field with the team. He's not able to engage in any activity whatsoever. So he has to be in street clothes, and he can't even throw a frisbee.
Right.
Can't even play catch, can't do anything. He's just got to be there. Yes, good for them that it doesn't count. A couple more players out there with two bans. However, if they were to acquire their third band at the end of the regular season, they would all be erased for playoffs.
Yeah, so we don't carry those over into the playoffs.
They do not. So no player has to worry about getting a third band that would kick them out of the play or suspend them from playoffs. However, if you get two bans in a game on week 10, you would be suspended from the playoff game.
Yes. So that is so, Malachek, only one ban this week. We're looking at you.
And you know what? I actually have on my notes to reach out to the refs there. I thought that he had a really good argument.
Yeah.
And you know, we all know I praise our refs. They do a great job. They missed a call there. He got bumped way too many times.
Oh, he definitely got fouled.
And he got fouled, and it didn't get called, and he was upset about it. You know, I wish that he would have handled it in a way that didn't get him banded, but I also wish the refs had called him on it.
I mean, I think that falls on both shoulders there. I can tell you the number of times I've gotten yellow cards complaining about times when I was very clearly fouled.
Yeah.
And it is what happens. But at the same time, I completely agree with him. He was very badly fouled in that situation.
Okay, I got one last thing, because we're actually going to go a little bit of a shorter episode today. My one last thing. Everybody's watching the World Cup right now.
Oh, I love it.
And one day, without question, there will be a tournament in Ultimate that will have some sort of hype. It won't be like this anytime soon, but it will be like this at some point because the sport's just too great and too accessible. Here's my question. Clint Dempsey gets kicked in the darn face.
Very hard, also.
Why is it not a card? Will you explain your silly cardy sport to me?
We go back and forth on this, and I think you could have easily carded him there. I was kind of surprised that they didn't. I think what the ref saw and what he believes happened is that as they both went up, Dempsey went into him and knocked him backward. And as he fell backward, he kicked his legs up to counterbalance and caught Dempsey in the face. Now, I think you could very easily make the counterargument that yes, he didn't intentionally kick him in the face, but he was certainly flailing aggressively. And as a result, caught him in the face, and that deserves some sort of punishment.
I thought it was terrible. I thought it was a terrible non-call.
It was a hit in the face,
I don't
too.
See how you don't give a yellow. Because the other point is you have to tell people, don't flail. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the refereeing, particularly in a couple of the early games, was a little suspect. It's interesting in the World Cup that referees are also competing to go through from the group stage to the knockout rounds.
Hmm.
So there's a voting system that takes place and a bunch of tape review that decides which officials get to go to the knockout rounds.
Well,
so,
the U.S. dude is not going.
So No. Don't say it that way, because there is a guy from the U.S. that may be the first to leave the knockout round. I mean, first to leave the group stages in a while.
Hmm.
So our fingers are crossed for him. But the guy who reffed the U.S. game.
That's what I meant.
That game had a couple of those kind of weird errors.
The other thing, and I want to make this announcement here, that you guys are going to be the first to hear it. We are working diligently. We've called up NASA.
Mm-hmm.
We called up, what's that one? The one where they make all the defense stuff? Some of our friends work there.
Boeing?
Not Boeing. Well, fine. We'll say Boeing.
Lockheed.
We've called up Toys R Us.
Toys R Us, yeah.
And we've called up Mark Cuban.
Sure, yeah.
And we are working on the first ever.
The first.
Frisbee goal line technology.
Oh, it's
because no one has a clue when that ball. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. The goal line technology for soccer honestly makes me laugh. They're like, they zoom, like a goal is in the back of the net, and they're like, look at this goal line technology.
They were so
excited. You guys are really
idiots. I don't know if you noticed, they haven't been using it as much lately. They were so excited the first games, and even the announcers were calling them out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, well, good thing we got to see that one.
Yeah, woo. Now, here's what's funny. If you watch tennis with Hawkeye, right, they're like, it goes down to a millimeter, don't they say that?
Yeah.
3 millimeters, whatever it is. So you see it, and you're like, that's impressive.
Yeah.
It just showed me, like, and the ball elongates, right, because in Hawkeye, if it's coming in at the angle.
Yep.
In the soccer thing, the ball was like 4 inches over the line. I'm like, that is not impressive. You know what I mean? Like, you're showing it 4 inches over the line.
Yeah, they,
like,
they,
show
they,
it to me a millimeter.
They haven't had a scenario come up where it's been necessary yet.
Wait, here's what was funny to me. It's a simple thing called instant replay. Just go back and look.
The goal line technology thing is actually better. Do you know how this works? Because it's really cool, actually.
Uh-uh.
So soccer is a very fluid game. You don't want instant replay because you don't want to stop a play. So they say the ball bounces down, hits the goal line, and bounces out. When are you going to stop that and review it? And then what do you do with all the time that passed between when that happened and when you stop?
You just actively do it.
What they did instead in the goal line technology is actually cool. Unfortunately, you're seeing the bad part of it. But what, the referees have watches on that tell them instantly whether it was a goal or not based on that technology.
I mean, it's cool.
They're just showing you a visualization of that technology. That is, frankly, embarrassing.
Right, it's embarrassing to look. I mean, who was the goal? The goal, like, it's again, it was in the back of the net, and they took time to show us that it was, then, like, zooms in.
I think we have to blame ESPN for that. I don't think that's the fault of the technology or the sport. That's the broadcast coverage. I will say that I'm really enjoying the montages of hyper slow motion facial expressions that we're getting pretty much constantly.
You know that I can't stand it. It's like way too slow.
It makes me so happy.
It's too slow and it's too good of a resolution. Like, I can see everything about it. It just makes them horrible. The only thing that's good about it is Ronaldo, because his hair is perfect.
He had his hairspray or his hair gel surgically installed.
What is
so
it?
He doesn't even have to replace it anymore.
Yeah,
it just is.
The Warren Zevon song, Werewolves of London, when he says that his hair was perfect. That line, I think about that every time I see him. Come on, man. What did you say? You told me this a long time. You said he went twice through. Isn't that your saying?
Yeah, he went twice through the line when they were handing out gifts and attributes.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah.
Because they were like, we made a model. And then, like, he cheated.
He got back in line.
And they're like, we made a soccer player. Like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, we did both.
Oh, no, we did both. He's so good.
Well, that will be an interesting human.
Yeah, he'll pick one. So, bravo to him. All right. We're out of here for this time. Send us what you want us to talk about next time. We're happy to talk about anything. All the way up to the boardroom or all the way down on the field, whatever you want. Thank you for listening, as always. Jeff Snyder, Nick Darling, I don't like you. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it. Yeah, that's why I work here.
But hey, you know what? Next week, if we're not traveling, which we are traveling, Tuesday we'll be in Boston.
We're doing a little bit of traveling.
So if you're in Boston on Tuesday, let me know. We'd like to meet up. But hopefully we can record on Wednesday, and then we're in playoffs, baby.
Oh, playoffs.
Till
playoffs?
Then. Playoffs.
Playoffs.
Till then.
Till then.